Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Final hour has arrived, and we are delighted that you have joined us. We mentioned this at the top about 3 hours ago, and quite a bit of reaction to a comment from our next guest's article about Brent Venables, a longtime Clemson assistant who is now the head coach at the University of Oklahoma. Matt Fortuna joining us from The Athletic. Matt, thank you very, very much. It's great to have you on. And I know this article is about much more than one comment, but I'm sure you can guess the comment that has elicited a reaction here. He's the closest thing to Nick Saban I've ever seen. You can interpret that as a compliment, especially since it's coming from someone who once worked under Nick Saban as well as Dabo Swinney. Hello, and tell us about that comment that has certainly woke up the echoes on this program.
Well, thanks for having me, Paul. Obviously, that's a comment that everyone's going to point to and pump up, and understandably so. Nick Saban is, by all accounts, the greatest coach in the history of college football. So any comparison to him is going to be met with excitement if you're an Oklahoma fan, and with eye rolls if you're not an Oklahoma fan. You mentioned this, but that comment came from Thad Turnipseed, who is essentially the chief of staff at Oklahoma right now, who was Nick Saban's right-hand man for many years at Alabama before becoming Dabo Swinney's right-hand man at Clemson. And we obviously saw how Clemson's recruiting and overall operations as a football program took off once Thad Turnipseed went to Clemson back in 2014. So this isn't someone who just met Brent Venables last week and has been very impressed with what he's done so far. This is someone who has worked with Brent Venables every day for the past 7 years, who's worked with Nick Saban and won championships with him, and who's worked with Dabo Swinney and won championships with him, and genuinely believes that Brent Venables is the next big thing in college football.
Yeah, I think maybe the better question is, how did Turnipseed get him away from or how did Venables get Turnipseed away from Clemson, because he was an integral part of that operation?
Yeah, definitely. That was one of the more surprising moves after you saw Brent Venables finally leave and take a head coaching job, right? I think part of it was the chance to build something new. When you look at what happened at Clemson, that program was not in the position it's in right now. Once Dabo Swinney got there, once Brent Venables got there a few years later, once Thad Turnipseed got there a few years after that. And, you know, Thad's a builder, right? He has a construction background. He helped get Dabo World off the ground and build it and get the slide and the golf course and turn that place into one of the best, if not the best, football facility in the country, and win multiple national championships while there as well. So I think this was a chance to start something new, sort of from the ground level, and to really prepare Oklahoma for not just the Brent Venables era, but for the SEC era. Because again, this is a guy who has been there and done that at that level and knows what it takes from an infrastructure standpoint, both as a football program and as an athletic department, to really be ready to put your best foot forward whenever that time in the SEC comes.
Matt, you did the story, so we'll let you answer some of these questions. But I've always wondered about Venables and why he stayed so long. And I know there were stories that, you know, he wanted to, you know, see his kids get out of high school or get out of college. He really liked it there. He turned down jobs, which became very public. So take us behind the scenes on who this guy really is.
For one, he was making a good chunk of change at Clemson, so he was in no rush to move. I mean, he was making $2.5 million per year, which paid him better than probably half of the FBS head coaches in the country. He had said all along privately, he's only going to leave at a place where he thinks he can win a national championship. And when we really get to talk about winning national championships, I know a lot of schools say they're in the business of winning. I know a lot of schools say they plan to one day compete for a national championship. But how many schools are truly committed from the top down to doing that? And I think when you look at the short list, Oklahoma is on that short list. And not only are they a team that's committed to winning a championship? They're a place where Brent Venables cut his teeth a decade ago, where he's very familiar with, where he worked under Bob Stoops, who was still very involved with that program, as we saw him take over when Lincoln Riley left back in November. So I think it was a perfect marriage and the perfect time on both sides, especially when you see all the turnover that's been happening on Dabo's staff at Clemson. And when you look at what Oklahoma needs in both the post-Lincoln Riley era and eventually the post-Big 12 era.
What did you find in reporting on this story and in digging deep on Brent Venables? Because there was a sense that this was an unusual hire. Everyone was expecting a big name. OU went for someone comfortable, and he seems like the fans have reacted very positively.
Yeah, Paul, I mean, this is the third straight hire Oklahoma's made of a coordinator, right, as their head coach. The first one worked out really well. Bob Stoops won a national title in his second year. The second one worked out really well. Lincoln Riley was really close to beating Georgia and maybe beating Alabama if he got that far in his first year in the playoff in 2017. And now there's Brent Venables, a guy who, you know, he's not a head coach. Well, he is a head coach now. He wasn't a head coach at Clemson, but a guy who's beaten Nick Saban multiple times. And how many people can truly say that? I think when you talk about recruiters and program builders, this guy doesn't plan on taking a backseat to anybody. And he's not just happy to finally have a head coaching job. He's not just happy to have a big head coaching job at Oklahoma. He used the word baptized to me multiple times. The Lions Den was another phrase he used multiple times. He knows that you can't leave anything to chance once you get to that highest level at the SEC. And Oklahoma has already been a really, really good program. They've won six of the last seven Big 12 titles. They're going to need that much more to compete regularly at the SEC with the Alabamas of the world, the Georgias of the world, the LSUs of the world. And I think when you look at what he's been able to bring over with him from Clemson, I know that's not an SEC program, but they sure operated like one the past couple of years and were backseat really to only Alabama nationally in terms of success on the field.
There was so much made out of Lincoln Riley, and he's still winning the press conferences and he, on Saturday, you know, all the pomp and circumstances that went with his spring game. What is the sense about Lincoln Riley now that he has departed? And is Brent Venables, I know what some people have told you, but is he the right guy to take his place?
No, Paul, I was pleasantly surprised. Every single person I talked to in that building, and that was darn near everybody, whether it was on the record or off the record, none had a bad thing to say about Lincoln Riley. But even the assistants who worked with him at Oklahoma who ended up not going with him to USC and chose to stay at Oklahoma, they said that had more to do with just the family, the personality, being comfortable in Norman, having been there so long already. They all wish Lincoln Riley well. The decision obviously surprised everyone, but they're moving forward. I think, first and foremost, seeing a beloved legend, school legend like Bob Stoops, really rally the troops and coach them in the bowl game and coach them to a win, that put that guy, I mean, if it was 1-2 with Barry Switzer and Bob Stoops as far as popularity level in Norman, it's now 1A and 1B. I mean, the Bob Stoops love is off the charts right now. He's got it made. He's still got a son on the team. He's at practice. He obviously knows Brent Venables, hired him back in the day, and is there to support him every step of the way. And for Brent Venables, look, we all know he's a rah-rah guy. We all know he's a defensive coordinator. We know he's a great recruiter. The part that really struck me just being around him for a full day there was how many of the head coaching, CEO, programmatic elements he had already thought of and thought out and the people he had put in place to implement that structure. I think a lot of times we just assume a guy is a good play caller or a good schemer against offenses, and he's going to come in and do that as a CEO and not know all the ins and outs of being a head coach. Brent Venables took his time for a reason. He was studying Dabo Swinney. He was picking his brain. He was looking at the national landscape and seeing what jobs would maybe open and what it would take to win big at those places. And that, more than anything else, was my biggest takeaway from my time in Norman.
And finally, if we could get to the SEC part of the equation, they feel good about Venables getting them ready. But what do you hear on that campus in relation to the SEC move, which frankly nobody knows exactly when it's going to be?
Yeah, timeline-wise, you know, all I could get out of the AD, Joe Castiglione, was, you know, contractually, it's July 1st, 2025. Now, if a situation were to arise where we could join there sooner, great. But it doesn't seem like there's any tangible movement, at least that they're publicly ready to say out loud right now. I will say, talking to some people in the football program, they're in a rush because they know it's coming sooner than later, but it's kind of a hurry-up-and-wait situation, right? they know, the people there know, particularly Brent Venables knows, what it takes to win big in the SEC. And I think they'd like as much runway as possible to make sure that when they are finally playing in that conference, they're not lacking for anything. So they're going to enjoy their time in the Big 12 right now. It's a league that they've dominated for much of the past decade, that they think they're capable of competing in at the highest level even this year, in year one of the Venables era. But they want to make sure they have all their ducks in order when they do finally get to SEC play.
Great stuff from Matt Fortuna of The Athletic on Brent Venables and his OU journey. We're appreciative of your time. We're heading to the break right now. We still have a lot of time for you to get in here, and we'll be sitting back waiting for your call.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yeah, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and I don't know if we announced yet that Joe from Red Bay is going to be our special co-host in Vegas.
Roll Tide, roll, Paul Feinbaum.
Joe, have you ever been to Vegas?
I've had friends that went there. My brother's been there, but I've never been there.
Joe, one more time. Have you ever been to Vegas?
I did one time, Paul, but I'll be honest, I slept all the way through.
Don't tell me you were in Hangover Part, the Hangover movie. That was you, right?
That was me. I mean, I slept right through it.
So you don't remember anything about being in Vegas?
Well, we went through it, and Paul, I'll be honest.
Well, I didn't ask if you went through it. I'm talking about did you? Obviously, you've never really been out there on a trip.
No. We just drove through it. No, I didn't get out of the car. I never fit through it there. But, hey, there's always the first time. You know, I could be awake this time. But the first time, I wouldn't drunk. Okay, I just walked like four straight days.
Would you like to go?
So let's do it up. I'm free Thursday. I'm free Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So, all right, let's do it. All you got to do is just come through Red Bay. I'll have my suitcase ready.
That'd be kind of tough. I don't think American Airlines has a hub in Red Bay, Alabama.
Oh, Paul, I got to tell you this. I told you my brother works at the airport in Huntsville.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, he got to meet, I know you remember the show Chips back in the day, the two-motorcycle cop.
Oh, sure. Everybody remembers that.
Well, he got to meet Eric Estrada this morning.
Eric Estrada,
he came through.
Wow. What is Eric doing in Huntsville?
He was catching a flight somewhere else. He was just transferring flights. He wasn't coming to Huntsville to stay. I mean, he was just coming through. But, you know, that's pretty cool. I mean, I've met athletes. I met you, Paul. So I guess I've met better people.
Okay. Other than me, which doesn't count as a celebrity, who's the most famous person you've ever met?
I would say Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, you know, NASCAR drivers.
Other than NASCAR drivers, do they count as celebrities?
Not to me.
I met Eric Church.
Other than NASCAR drivers, who else?
I met James Amos. You know, he was the father on Good Times. J.J. Daddy, I met him.
I don't know him.
Matt Goober, of course, you know, on Andy Griffith.
Let's try something else, Joe. This celebrity sweepstakes is not going very well.
Well, I met Donald Trump. I mean, I've met people.
Okay.
Yeah, but
Trump is the president. Okay, when did you meet Donald Trump, and what did you guys talk about?
Well, that was at the airport in Tupelo, Mississippi. You know, he did a rally at the airport. So, he did say that I mentioned your show, and he actually said that he does listen to that sometimes.
And it won't be today. I'm going to talk about, I will tell the story of the dinner I had with Donald Trump. How about that?
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
That's right. But I want to respond to that Jeff in Columbus, Ohio. You know, I don't know why he wants to mention my name. You know, he can go kiss a mangy butt's dog. I mean, a mangy dog's butt. But you know what? He ain't never going to be the man that I am.
Mangy dog's butt?
Yeah. I mean, French kiss. I mean, yeah, that's what he can do. And he ain't never going to be the man that I am. And he's talking about this transfer portal. Hey, Alabama owns this portal. And, you know, and if a guy wants to leave, I mean, we got athletes just waiting to come in and take their spots. So it ain't no big deal. And I do want to say this before I get off, Paul. What Legend said Friday about Jim, I got to disagree with him. Because Jim don't wear the pants. He just sold his stinking drawers and drank from the sippy cup. But remember this, Paul. I am the handsome one. Roll Tide, brother.
I am the handsome.
I think we should have stuck with the NASCAR celebrities that he met. Bubba is up next.
What's shaking, Paul?
Hey, Bubba.
I just spent 20 minutes in hell. I stuck in traffic on Independence Boulevard and have had to listen to Jeff's phone call.
By the way, I've been to a lot of cities in America and been on a lot of bad roads, but that may be the worst road I've ever been on.
Oh, it's a nightmare, and I have to come through there every evening. But I swear Jeff's call took 10 minutes off my life.
I bought a car off that street once, which pretty much every car dealership, and trying to turn around on that street, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
It's a nightmare, man.
You had a detour. I think I detoured in Knoxville to turn it around.
Yeah, that's probably the first place you can turn around at.
That is a terrible road.
No, I just got tickled at Jeff's comment about Handsome Joe there. He doesn't need to be picking on Handsome Joe because I promise you Jeff has his brain out at least once a day playing with it himself. So
that's funny.
And you need to treat him like you did the guy the other day when you told him not to call back and just go watch the Big Ten Network.
Oh, yeah.
I would love for you to tell Jeff that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind you calling in here, but don't tell us about the Big Ten Network. We don't care.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear him cry about Nick Saban all summer and his pickleball scores.
No. Well, Jeff, you know, Jeff's a wealthy guy. You know, he tells us that every time he calls in.
Oh, yeah. He's a Yankee version of Augie. They're convinced they're the smartest person in the conversation, but the only one convinced of it's them.
Well, Bubba, I'm sorry about the drive, but at least listening
to
him.
Oh, yeah, it was entertaining, to say the least. You have a good evening.
You got it.
Poor Bubba.
Bubba, on Independence Boulevard, right?
Yeah.
What a terrible road. I've said that a few times. I get angry about bad roads. Mm-hmm. But this road, there's literally no way to get off of it.
It's a one-way trip.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a one-way trip to Cat Daddy's house.
Mr. Feinbaum.
Hey, Cat Daddy, do you now call us from a tunnel? Why does it always sound so weird when you call?
I don't know. I'm having some problems the other day.
Maybe it's just your state of mind.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Cat Daddy. Does he sound like he's
no,
in a tunnel?
No, I don't so much. Independence Boulevard. Let me tell you something about the city of Charlotte and Atlanta. Did you know the city of Columbia, South Carolina, had a circular interstate around the city before Atlanta or Charlotte ever did. And Charlotte's still working on it.
I didn't know that. I'm not really sure I'm an expert on the Trivial Pursuit game of bad interstates in the South.
Well, anyway, what I originally called you about was all this stuff about Dabo.
Did he really say what a kiss a kiss a mangy dog's butt?
Who told you to do that?
That's what Red Dog just said. Kiss a mangy dog's butt.
Well, I've heard that expression. I used to, my grandma used to tell me at night she'd go to bed with arthritis and wake up with Ben Gay.
There's got to be a joke in there somewhere.
Yes, sir.
Go to bed with arthritis and wake up with Ben Gay.
Well, you got the arthritis.
Yeah, I got the joke. Ricky is up next. Ricky got that joke too, didn't he?
Yeah, that's pretty good, Paul.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that Cat Daddy dropped the mic on that one because he was about to screw up a funny joke.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, but I got an NIL question first.
Sure.
I did watch a couple of, I looked in on Ole Miss and Jackson State's spring games. Now, if those guys, can they decide to go back out of the portal or go back in if they feel like that they are not going to, be a starter or whatever?
Ricky, it really depends on the relationship with the coach. If you have a coach that says, go check things out, but you've got a spot here if you come back, but most coaches probably won't tell them that.
Okay, well, but technically, can a guy enter a portal, go to another school? He can't transfer again, right?
Well, this is where it gets confusing. The system was structured that you would have a free pass, a mulligan. Now, remember, 2 years ago, the NCAA said, with COVID, you can do whatever you want. So you had a lot of chaos going on, but I think we're back now to you have one shot, one free transfer.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And I mean, every time I answer a question like this, I'm worried I'm wrong. But the good news about a show like this, if I am, somebody will correct me in about 30 seconds.
Well, let me ask you this. My boy Mike, man, Mike, is he going MIA?
Mike Leach?
Yeah, I mean, he don't want to play with us no more. What's the deal, man?
First of all, Ricky, I don't know. I used to hear from Mike Leach all the time, and he's – I don't know whether he's on the dark side of the moon. So what exactly has happened to him?
I don't know because I don't even know what the spring game is. I hadn't seen the spring game. I've been looking for it on the app, but I can't – I don't know. He's very evasive. I don't know what's going on.
I thought the spring game was supposed to be, let's see, 2 weeks ago.
I thought it was last week. Last week, but I didn't, I don't know. Did it rain it out? Did it get rained out or something? I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah, I believe they just had a scrimmage. It was rained out. That's the deal. It was rained out.
Okay. Yeah, but I hadn't heard anything, he hadn't talked.
Well, here's the thing that I'm puzzled by, Ricky. Mike Leach used to be one of the most personable coaches in college football.
Right.
He was always available for
saying.
An interview. I don't know what – I mean, we've invited him to come on here to have some fun countless times. It's not like we're going to ask him anything difficult, and I never see and hear from him. I don't know.
Yeah,
I really don't know the answer to that.
He's always good for a good soundbite.
When he got the job, I think a lot of people thought he was going to be much funnier than Lane Kiffin. It turned out that Leach has become somewhat of a dour figure, and Kiffin is owning Twitter.
Right. Yeah. I don't know what's up with. I wonder has did. Did the powers that be, did they Did they temper him down?
Well, Ricky, I don't think you can temper him down. That's what made him so likable.
Yeah, but what? I hope he's not, you know, maybe having some kind of personal issues or maybe sickness or something.
Well, I mean, in all candor, I don't know the answer because, and here's a mistake that I think Leach has made. A program like Mississippi State needs to be visible. You need to know what's going on outside of that area code. And I think he's made a big mistake. I think he needs to get a little more visible and a little more personable. Hey, thanks for the call. We're heading to a break, and we are coming right back after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Matt is up next in New Orleans. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Paul, where you at? Man, I had to call to tell you that there ain't no way Arch Manning's going to LSU. The daddy, the granddaddy, who's the patriarch of that family, you know, they threw oranges at him when they went to the Rose Bowl, if you remember. And he had a broken arm. The kid from, I forget the kid's name, from Houston, broke his arm, and Manning was out. But he was such a class act.
What does that have to do with LSU? Oh, when he was at Ole Miss, you mean?
When he was at Ole Miss.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the granddaddy, you know, the patriarch of the family.
Archie, yeah.
You know, the LSU fans threw oranges at him. The man
Matt,
had a
you're telling me
arm.
That Archie Manning is holding a grudge from 55 years ago?
Make no mistake about it. Those people are New Orleanians, you know.
No.
But you
never
can see them. You can belly up to the bar at Doman Lisa's and get a po' boy next to them if they're around. But
so you're
they
saying
are
the
not.
These are people that say the past isn't. Isn't even
no,
dead.
We
it's
don't
not
forget
even
that this is a history town, you know.
Yeah.
It's all about history,
Tennessee,
you know.
Williams.
And I have to tell you, there's no way he's going to LSU. I was hoping he'd go to Ole Miss and rekindle them, but Georgia, I'm hoping he don't go to Texas, you know. But here's the thing I wanted to tell you. Remember I told you about Georgia was how I came about the score in the Georgia game? Remember the over and under was 51, and Georgia was a 7-point favorite over Alabama. I added 7 to the 11 that they beat Michigan by, subtracted it from the 51 and got 33, got the exact score. Those numbers are right, okay? But I got a great story if you want to hear it.
Go.
Okay. Remember I was telling you about that party when Georgia played? Well, my granny was there, and one thing led to another, and she started telling these old New Orleans stories. And the Dolphins' brother, the King of France's brother, came down to see Marigny, and also Marigny Dave Mandeville across the river. He owned a big place with the whole plantation. And anyway, so they were over there, and he was celebrating them, and he fed them on gold plates. I'm not making this up. Gold plates. Because he was the King of France. After they ate, he had the servants, you know, possibly slaves, it was a long time ago, throw the dishes, the gold dishes, into Lake Pontchartrain. Well, anyway, the legend in the story is that all the slaves on the plantation had gold teeth soon after that.
Hey, thanks, Matt. Squirrel is up next.
I don't even know how to follow that call, but I'm going to try. I want to vote a plus vote for Jeff from Columbus. I really enjoy his calls. I can't believe you're as disrespectful to him as you are, considering that you know, he was one of your personal saviors during the COVID crisis. I mean, you stopped the show before his call one day, if you recall, just to thank him, if you remember.
I've tried to forget.
You're going, I know. But I do like his calls. But clarify something for me, if you don't mind.
Please.
Handsome Joe. Did Handsome Joe just say he met Trump at the Tupelo airport?
Yes, and spoke to him.
And then he said, of all the things he could ask a presidential candidate or whatever, he asked him about the Paul Feinbaum show. Is that what he said?
Yeah, the reason why I believe that, Squirrel, is he told me that
you
story
believe that?
Not long after it
Wait
happened.
Wait a minute, you believe that?
Well, let me say, the only reason I believe that he thinks he talked to Donald Trump is that he told me that story a couple of years ago during the campaign. And I will tell you, I didn't believe it then. He apparently is repeating
he's sticking
it.
With it.
So.
Yeah. I mean, is he tied to the show so much that of all the things he could ask somebody like Donald Trump,
yes.
It's do you watch
now,
the Paul Feinbaum show?
They just, I do believe that, assuming he had a conversation with Squirrel. And here's how I think it went. Although I don't think it really happened. He was introduced to the president. He said, by the way, I'm a caller on the Feinbaum show. And Trump said, oh, yeah, great show. Listen to it all the time.
Yeah. Well, I know you and Don are tight, but I just didn't think Joe would use that.
Well, you know what you're forcing me to do, Squirrel? I am going to have to go through channels and ask President mm-hmm. Trump if indeed he remembers speaking to Handsome Joe at the Tupelo airport.
I wish you would, and I wish these ex-cons would not think we're that naive, that they can just come on here and tell all these crazy stories and that we're just going to automatically believe them. But thanks for taking my call. Thank Aloha. You.
Is it possible that story is true, though? First of all, how did Handsome Joe get close enough to Donald Trump is my question. I mean, when you go to these rallies, I mean, can anyone – you just can't walk up to a guy like that, can you? Yeah, I mean, don't you need to be a muckety-muck? Maybe Handsome Joe is a muckety-muck. I don't know. I'm concerned about that story. Let's check in with Chuck, who is in Panama City. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, Paul. I called in to share my plan with you about high school draft. And, yes, I said high school draft, and I'll just jump right into it. First hurdle would be getting through the court system. And I got something I think might work. If we give all the high school boys a 8-year educational scholarship, of course, they still have their 4 years of football scholarship.
Hey, Chuck, help me out here. And what are you talking about?
A high school draft, Paul.
Well, no, I understand
more,
what that means, but explain what that means, a high school draft.
First of all, now this is the second hurdle. We're going to have to limit it to the Big Five conferences.
I'm going to limit this to saying that it's not going to happen, but I appreciate your suggestion. We have to go to a break. I wasn't just moving on because the call made no sense. Absolutely not. We are back after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
Couple of minutes remaining on the program. Legend is next.
Whew, that went down the wrong way. What's up, Feinbaum? I seen the bat signal. I seen that Gordon needed me. Here I am, brother. What's going on, man?
We are just we started the show playing a clip of your call Friday with the other guy, and here we go. We're ending it tonight with you.
Oh, man, good news. All the demons got out. I got delivered. Woo! Still might be a few in there after today, Paul. Hey, Paul, you ever heard of a Hawaiian from Mississippi? Have you ever heard of that in all your life? Have you ever heard anything like that?
No.
No. Oh, come on, man. Instead of saying aloha, he ought to be saying, oh, hell. I mean, if the dude was any more of an inbred, Subway would name a sandwich after him, Paul. tell your wife hello, squirrel. Hey, Paul, I'm a pissed off chainsaw today, man. I'm just a pissed off chainsaw, dude. I mean, you got some of the dumbest ass callers in the world, man. You got some great callers, but you got some dumb ass callers. And Squirrel, Jeff, Red Dog. I mean, these are the dumbest morons I've ever listened to in my life. Let me tell you something, Jeff. If Nick Saban wants somebody, we'll go get him. Woo, that's right. Anybody. If we need a receiver, we'll go get a receiver. If we need a tight end, we'll go get a tight end. Nick might talk a lot of stuff, but it's our front. He's the godfather, and he'll use the NIL, and we'll give him all the money he needs to stay right where he's at. And believe me, he's going to be on top for a long friggin' time. And that brings me to these Georgia fans, because I'm going to cut off an ear with my chainsaw. And let me get some real facts to you Georgia fans. On Thursday night, when they called Trayvon Walker, and they called Gordon Davis, and they called Neal, and they called Pickens, and they get up on stage, and they wave to the crowd, wave back at them, because you're waving goodbye to your dynasty. Woo! It took you 4 years to build it, and it'll take you 40 more years to get one. It's not that you ain't there, because you're there, but you won't stay there. BYU got to the mountaintop, and boom, 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 they came down. Colorado got to the mountaintop, and boom, 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 they came down. Well, I hear that song, Georgia. Coming down the mountain, here we come, boom, boom. Coming down the mountain, here we come, boom, boom. Yes, Georgia's coming down the mountain, that's right. You ask any friggin' great coach, Wooden, Belichick, Saban, they'll tell you getting to the top's one thing, staying there's another. So Thursday night when them players get drafted, wave to them, Georgia, wave to them, because your dynasty is through, brother. It is through. Legend out, baby.
Wow.
Woo! Like a friggin' chainsaw up in here.
Thanks, legend. Dwayne is up next. Hello, Dwayne.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing?
We are well. Thank you.
Thank you. Good. I heard some discussion earlier about having meeting President Trump, and I just wanted to offer a story for you. I was invited to the White House to have dinner with President Trump and Melania and meet the staff and crew.
Really?
And back in 2018. Yes, sir. I'm a Gold Star father.
Oh, wow. That is really interesting. We only have about 45 seconds left. Just tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. I had a little reservation because I wasn't sure what to expect, but I will say this. President Trump was probably the most patriotic, humorous, respectful, gracious, humble man I think I've ever met in my life. He exceeded all expectations. Melania was about as graceful a lady as you could ever wish to meet. But the meet and greet was great. I just enjoyed talking to him and doing a little small talk and banter. He complimented me on my tie, which I offered to give to him, but he refused. He said it looked better on me.
Dwayne, let me jump in here quickly because we're literally about to run out of time.
Yes,
but thank you so much for sharing that, and thank you for what your family has contributed for all of us and to all of us. Be well. We're unfortunately out of time. We thank all of you for being a part of the program. We'll see you tomorrow.